Chapter 8, as we continue our study. All right, we got through verse number 14. Remember that this particular chapter took place 551 BC, 2 years after chapter 7. The time frame is still between chapters 4 and 5 chronologically. And chapter 8, verse 1 through the end of the book, chapter 12, this is all written in Hebrew. And because the emphasis is on God's working with, actually working on the Jews. Instead of four kingdoms being mentioned here in chapter 8, there are only two that are mentioned. You have the Medo-Persian Empire. The Medes, of course, were led by Darius. The Persians, the more powerful of the two, was led by Cyrus. And then, of course, you had the Grecian Empire, which was led first by Alexander the Great. He died, of course, as a young man, 33 years old. He died of a fever. And I think if I remember back from history, he had a little drinking problem as well. So underneath him arose four generals, which took various parts of the kingdom. And it took 22 years for them to fight it out among themselves who would get what. Can you believe that? 22 years to figure out, all right, you're going to get this area, you're going to get this area, you're going to get, and finally they settled it. And we were introduced to a Syrian, one of those that became the head of Syria out of the Seleucus dynasty, if you please, the area of the Seleucids. This man's name was Antiochus Epiphanes, and he was an evil, evil precursor to Antichrist. Everything that was true of him will be true of Antichrist times 100. But he's an evil, evil, evil man. Medo-Persia is represented here in this chapter by a ram. If you recall, I mentioned that the guardian spirit of the Persians was the ram with clean feet and sharp horns. When the Persian king stood before his armies, he wore a head of a ram instead of a diadem. And then we're introduced again, Antiochus Epiphanes, called a little horn. Antichrist later will also be called that. He came out of Syria. He ruled from 175 through 164 BC. All right, how much do we read the whole chapter? Did we stop at 14? We stopped, didn't we? All right, so we've got 27 verses. Well, George, you take 15 to 19. Then we got 20 to 24. We'll take those, 20 to 24. Miss Sherry, and then 25 through 27. Becca? All right. Go ahead, George.
And it came to pass when I, Daniel, had seen the vision and sought for the meaning, then behold, there stood before me as the appearance of a man, a man's voice between the banks of Ulai, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. So he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was afraid and fell upon my face. But he said unto me, understand, O son of man, for at the time of the end shall be the vision. Now as he was speaking with me, I was in a deep sleep on my face toward the ground. But he touched me and set me upright. And he said, behold, I will make thee know what shall be in the last end of the indignation, for at the time appointed the end shall be.
The ram which thou sawest having two horns are the king of Media and Persia, and the rough goat is the king of Grecia, and the great horn is that is between its eyes is the first king. Now let thee be broken whereas thou stood up for it, for kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not in its power. In the latter time of the kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark princes shall stand up, and his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. And he shall destroy wonderful faithfully and shall prosper in practice and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people.
And through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. And the vision of the evening and the morning which was told is true. Wherefore shut thou up the vision, for it shall be for many days. And I, Daniel, fainted, and was sick certain days. Afterward I rose up and did the king's business, and I was astonished at the vision, but none understood it.
All right, thank you, folks. Back up for a moment to verse number 14. Let me remind you of what that's all about as this plays off of that. In verse 14, he said unto me, under 2,300 days, and literally that could be translated 2,300 mornings and evenings. Now, if Edward Miller would have known that, he would have known that 2,300 did not mean 2,300 years and count forward to 1844 and start a whole denomination based on faulty exegesis. Very clearly talking about days. And, of course, the angel was answering the question about how long will this awful person, Antiochus Epiphanes, do his evil deeds. So if you count back from the death of Antiochus in 164 BC, and he died without hands, in other words, he died, number one, he had some real mental issues. I guess that kind of goes without saying, right? He had some real mental issues, and I forget what the other issue was. I got it written down somewhere. We'll get to it. But he died of a physical ailment as well. Oh, I remember now because I see it. He was insane, and he died with a disease of the bowels. I imagine that was a painful end for a wicked man. So if you count back 2,300 days from 164, you come to 171 BC, and that's when the oppression began, and it lasted about 2 years. I don't think it was 6 years. We of course know from intertestamental history of Judas Maccabeus. One of the best movies I ever saw was a movie about that, when they defeated the Romans and reclaimed the temple and cleansed it. And we'll talk about them more as we go on. So that's kind of the history. The legitimate high priest was Onias III. He was murdered. And a false high priest was put over the temple. And then, of course, Antiochus offered a swine upon the altar, desecrated the temple. And then he stopped any Jewish religion. He stopped it all. The temple sacrifices were shut down, everything, all the feasts, everything was shut down. I know I said 2 years, I think it's six. Anybody know off the top of your head? I got it written down, we'll get there, but I'm not there yet. I'm kind of working ahead. But it was quite a period of time. All right, beginning with verse 15, we see number two, the details of the vision. Number one was the description of the vision, going through verse 14. Number two is the details of the vision, verses 15 through 26. So Daniel had seen the vision, and he obviously wanted to know, what in the world does all this mean? And there stood before him as the appearance of a man, literally a mighty man. And remember, Gabriel means the mighty one of God. So he came near where I stood, and when he came, of course, Daniel was afraid. You can imagine how Gabriel glowed and how he would have caused Daniel to be filled with a real fear. Between the banks of the Ulai, that's a river east of the Persian city Susa, sometimes called Shushan, which called and said Gabriel. This is the first time that a name of an angel is in the Bible other than Satan. The first time an angel is named. So he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was afraid, and he fell flat on his face. But he said unto me, understand, O son of man, for at the time of the end shall be the vision. So the vision refers to the time of the end. Gabriel continued to speak. Daniel was in a deep sleep on his face toward the ground. Gabriel came and touched Daniel and stood him up. He said, behold, I will make thee know what shall be in the last end, or the final period of the indignation. Now remember, because of unbelief, because of Israel's sin, God will chasten them, and he did throughout their history, and he, at the end of time, the tribulation period, much of it is to punish Israel, to get Israel to turn finally to Jesus. And those that are alive at the end of the tribulation will indeed, whoever, I don't know how many of them, many will have died, but there will be many who will, all of them will turn to Christ at the end of the tribulation, those that are yet alive. So God's anger against Israel, if you look at chapter 11, just one verse there in chapter 11, verse number 36. And the king shall do according to his will. And we're talking here, Daniel's talking about Antichrist. And he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that is determined shall be done. So Daniel there in chapter 11 also mentions the indignation, when God's wrath will be poured out. For at the time appointed, the end shall be, when the chastening of Israel is over. The ram that thou sawest having two horns are the kings of Media and Persia, the Medes and the Persians, Darius and Cyrus. The rough goat, literally a shaggy male goat. A shaggy male goat. The great horn that is between his eyes is the first king. Great meaning, of course, large. A large horn, a very large male, shaggy male goat representing Alexander the Great. But again, he died at 33 years old. So verse 22 says, that being broken, whereas four stood up, four generals, and after fighting for 22 years, four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, Greece, but not in or with his power. So after it was split up into four segments, it was not near as powerful as it was under Alexander the Great. In the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full or have reached their fullness, a king of fierce countenance and understanding, dark sentences or sinister schemes shall stand up. We have a dual fulfillment here. Remember, in prophecy, sometimes there is what's called a dual fulfillment. The near fulfillment is Antiochus Epiphanes. The far fulfillment is Antichrist. His power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. Kind of a dual meaning here. It speaks of the fact that God is sovereign, and whatever God allows happens. If he doesn't allow it, it would not happen. But also he was empowered. Antichrist and Antiochus Epiphanes were empowered by Satan himself. So God's in control. God is allowing, will allow the future Some of this has already happened. Antiochus Epiphanes, of course, is a historical figure. He's dead and gone. Antichrist is yet to come. And, of course, the power that both of them had was satanic, but both were allowed to do, will be allowed to do what they do because of God's sovereignty. He shall destroy wonderfully or fearfully, and shall prosper and practice or thrive, and shall destroy the mighty or the mighty men and the holy people. We already read Daniel 11:36. If you go back to the last chapter and look at verse number 25, chapter 7, verse number 25, and he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time, 3.5 years. And he's speaking about, of course, there'll be a one world government. That's more talked about in verse 24. But then in verse 25, there will be a one world church. You can write down next to verse 25, if you'd like, Revelation 13. That's where we're introduced to Antichrist, the beast out of the sea, the beast out of mass of humanity. One man will come, Antichrist, make a covenant with Israel. And in the midst of that covenant, 3.5 years in, he will break the covenant. He will set up an image of himself inside the temple and demand to be worshipped. And, of course, we'll talk about that as we go along. Keep in mind that Antiochus Epiphanes, if you count back, September the 6th, 171 B.C. is when the actual desecration took place. And then the temple was restored by Judas Maccabeus on December the 25th, 165 or 164 B.C. It lasted 3 years. I was wrong. It wasn't two. It wasn't six. It was three. Yeah, I used to be able to remember stuff. The prophecy about Antiochus Epiphanes is totally fulfilled in this chapter, chapter 8, verses 1 through 14. And here the angel, of course, is explaining all this to Daniel. Also, I want to read Revelation 17, verse number 13. Revelation 17. I'm going to back up just a little bit to verse 11. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth, and is of the seven, and goeth into perdition. And that's when Antichrist kind of faked the resurrection, where he was killed and he rose, supposedly. And we'll get into details about that when we get in Revelation. The ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour or a short period of time with the beast, and that'll be 3.5 years. So they will be sub-rulers under Antichrist. But notice verse 13, these have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast, complete allegiance to Antichrist. And of course that will happen in the tribulation period. Any questions or comments so far? I know this is confusing at times. There's a lot to remember. And of course, when you write stuff down, you got to know where you wrote it. That helps. All right, let's finish up the chapter. And through his policy, some translations have his cunning insight, he shall cause craft or deceit to prosper in his hand or under his rule. And he shall magnify or exalt himself in his heart, and by peace or and along with peace, prosperity shall destroy many. Some translations add, while they're at ease. In other words, for a period of time, everything looks really good. Prosperous, peace, everything great. Until Antiochus Epiphanes offered that swine on the altar and shut down the Jewish religion entirely for 3 years. Antichrist will set up an image of himself, as I mentioned, a demand to be worshipped. He shall also stand against the prince of princes. Who is that? The Lord Jesus, right? Now, a few years after Rome conquered Greece, they had by 146 BC, Antiochus, this is when he died insane and with a disease of the bowels. He shall be broken without hand, without human intervention. No man killed Antiochus. And of course, we know the Lord himself will destroy Antichrist and send him to the lake of fire. So many people are going to be fooled. And many people back in Antiochus's days were fooled for a period of time. And the vision of the evening and the morning which was told is true. And so Daniel was told, since what I've told you is true, shut thou up the vision. He didn't mean don't share it. He meant seal it up. Preserve it as truth. For it shall be for many days, or it refers to many future days, because much of what Daniel wrote has not yet been fulfilled. And I, Daniel, fainted and was sick certain days, or sick 4 days, not four F-O-U-R, but F-O-R. And I certainly understand why. Afterward, I rose up and did the king's business, and I was astonished. I was amazed at the vision, but none understood it. That's number three, the effects of the vision, verse 27. The effects of the vision, if you're keeping an outline. All right, any other questions? Or any questions? There weren't any. All right, look at chapter 9. I'm just going to do a real quick beginning here, like an introduction to chapter 9. This is a great chapter. A vision of the 70 weeks. Now we're back to 539, the first year of Darius the Mede, after Belshazzar met his demise and Babylon fell. The setting of chapter 9, I, Daniel, understood by books. As Daniel read the prophecy of Jeremiah 25, verse number 12, he realized that the Babylonian captivity would last only 70 years, from 605 to 535 BC, and that the time was almost complete. Daniel was about 85 or so years old at this time. Having lived through the captivity, he realized that the Jews were not ready to return to their land because they were in desperate need of revival. And so the chapter begins with number one, the occasion of the prayer. The occasion of the prayer. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, or Babylon, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he should accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. You write down next to chapter 2. Well, I'll tell you what, let's look at it. Jeremiah 25. Jeremiah chapter 25. And this is what Daniel would have read. Verses 11 and 12. Of course, there were no verses back then. It was all one text. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. And it shall come to pass when 70 years are accomplished that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquity, and the land of the Chaldeans, and will make it perpetual desolations. And then also chapter 29, Jeremiah 29 and verse number 10. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. So the time was about up. So number one, the occasion of the prayer, verses 1 and 2. Then number two, the nature of the prayer. And this is where we're going to stop because this takes us through verse number 19, the occasion of the prayer. As Daniel prays and includes himself as one of the guilty ones, even though he was a dynamic believer, faithful to God from youth up, and yet he put himself in there as one of the reasons why God had poured out his judgment upon Israel. Questions or comments? We're a little early, but I don't want to get into. Don't want to get into this until we're ready to move on. No questions, no comments. No great words of insight. Yes, sir, I see that hand. Frank, what's up? Right.
Doesn't it say that somewhere else about men will dream dreams and have visions in the end times in order to seal them up also?
I do remember about that men will dream dreams. That's
old
in
men.
Joel. I think
old
that's...
Men, right?
Huh?
Old men? I think it says old men somewhere.
Probably does. There. I think... I'm trying to think of that. It's Old Testament. I think it's Joel, isn't it? It's the passage that was that Peter referred to when he preached the sermon at Pentecost. Joel, I think it was Joel too, that men would, old men, I don't know if it's old men or not, I don't remember off the top of my head, but they will dream, have visions, dream dreams. And exactly when that is referring to, off the top of my head, I can't remember. I'm not just going to shoot something out that I'm not sure of. But yeah. The idea here in Daniel, of course, was that the word would be preserved. And indeed it was. Sure, I couldn't give you a better answer.
That's okay.
You know, I tried my best. I'm not working with much, you know what I'm saying? God said brains. I thought he said trains. And I said, give me a low one. Anybody else? Nobody. You guys are really quiet today. Did you work hard in the gardens and stuff? Is that what it is? You're all wore out. You're out in the yard. I mean, what a change from one week to another. One week got 11 plus inches of rain. This week, pleasant 70s, low humidity. And it's going to continue. They had called for rain Friday. Now they moved that to Sunday. So as of today, it's clear all week. It's a little warm toward the end of the week, mid-80s. But Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 70s. I still got to get my garden. I'm way behind, way behind. All right. Let's go over the prayer list if you have time. Thank you. I had the right chapter, huh?
Yeah.
Wow. Got a memory like an elephant. Half dead elephant. You want to read that about the dreams?
Sure. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. That was 29.
There you go. And as far as exactly what time period that's, I don't know if that's, I don't think that's talking about the whole church age. Part of that is fulfilled. Part of that was fulfilled at Pentecost. Yeah. That much I remember. But when the rest of that is fulfilled, I'd have to look that up. All right, continue to pray for the church. Pray that God will bring some folk in. We want to see some folks join. We need some servants. Scotty's going to get married. He's going to be going down to his future wife's church down in Martinsburg. He's going to be moving down. He's going to sell the house and move down there with her. And so we are going to need a church clerk. And as Beck and I racked our little pea brains trying to figure out who could be the church clerk, we didn't come up with anybody that isn't already doing something. We need some people. And we need ushers.
And a counter.
Not too many counters. Don't want everybody knowing everybody's business. But we need some counters. And they, of course, can't be brand new people in the church to be a counter. That wouldn't be good. So, I know who would make an excellent usher. Guy right there. I see that man. Oh, yeah. You are usher material. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. All right. So pray about that. Pray for our church. Pray for our nation. Pray for our world. Pray for the crazies up in New Jersey. I don't understand people. It's got to be Satan. It's got to be. I don't think people are even that dumb. Do you? What is the point? We don't want the criminals removed. I don't understand it. Pray for law enforcement, pray for ICE agents. I don't know how any of them keep, I just say forget you people, I'm out of here. But pray for our missionaries, pray for Hope House, pray for Mark, and pray God will continue to give faith and strength to Rhonda. Pray for Bill's kidneys, that they'll keep on doing their job, filtering that blood. Blood pressure stays down. Pray for Ronnie. We had the funeral for Gary's sister, Darlene. I left the house. It was absolutely pouring. I mean, buckets. Got down to Winchester. It was a little better, but still raining. They had viewing for 2 hours, and it looked like I was really hoping we could have it inside, because when you have a graveside service, you only have a few sitting, the rest are standing, and you don't want to keep people standing for 30 or 40 minutes. So, but anyway, it worked out where it did stop raining. It got so humid. Oh, my goodness. And so we went out in the steam bath and went to the graveside, and folks can't say they did not hear the gospel, because they did. So pray for the family. I'm thinking Gary and I don't know if they hang on 1 second. Let me see if I got. No. I got a text from Kathy. Remember praying for Regina? Well, she I don't know if it's her daughter. I think it's her sister, Tammy. She was at the funeral and I met her. We had prayed for Tammy because Tammy had cancer. She's doing very, very well. I don't know if it's her sister or mother, but Regina was in very bad shape, and they gave, hours for her to live. And so Tammy went down. I don't remember what city. It's in Virginia Hospital. And I'm thinking that's probably where Gary and Kathy, she may have passed. I asked Kathy to keep me informed. But maybe in the heat of the moment, she forgot. But it's very possible that Regina has has passed into eternity. So pray for the family. Amanda has surgery July the 10th. Any word on Ed's surgery? No date? Candy Moore's son, Bub, remember, he has tuberous sclerosis, friend of Rebecca Dawson. Pray for Jerry Giffen, the funeral director of Giffen's Funeral Home. He has throat cancer. And Leonard knows him real well, and he's been in contact with his wife, and doesn't have a lot of details as far as what they're going to do, but pray for Jerry. Pray for, Scott said his cousin Julia passed away on last week, and the memorial is today. So pray for Scott and the family as they go through this time of loss. All right, let's stand together for prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, Lord, that you are God. You are in control. We see the havoc. We see the confusion in our world, in our nation. And Father, I pray that you would save this nation. Lord, awaken churches that we would preach with renewed enthusiasm the gospel of Christ and the hope that's found in him and him alone. We pray for those even here this morning that do not know Christ as Savior. And Lord, I pray that you'd impress deeply upon their hearts that if they die without Christ, they will spend eternity in the lake of fire, where the fire is not quenched, the worm dies not, with no escape, separated from God, separated from all that is good and holy, and all that is love. So Lord, please, save that soul this morning. Give that one the courage to repent and to receive Christ, believing that his death, burial, and resurrection, the gospel, is the truth that's needed to be internalized in order to be saved, to be born into your family. I pray for those with physical needs, Lord, if it be your will, that you'd heal them. I pray, Lord, for those that have lost loved ones, that you would comfort them and encourage them. And Lord, be near to them during these days of mourning. I pray, Father, that you would continue to work in our hearts, even here this morning in the next hour. I pray that, Lord, you would protect those yet traveling in. And I pray that we would worship you this morning in spirit and in truth from the depths of our hearts. Lord, we love you. We thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the blood he shed. God, help us to love you more, to serve you more faithfully, to always have you first and foremost in our hearts and minds and in our lives. I pray you bless the coming hour. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.